and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 490. How are we all doing? I've lost my glasses, I can't see.
I've just realised something.
Go on.
I'm queued the news up.
Yeah, but it's been that kind of day.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, let's just say, and it's only 1 minute past seven, it's not going to be a long show. Oh, plenty of bad words were said, but it's not going to be a long show because we're dying. It is hideous. It's the hottest day in 50 years, apparently. And in the studio, even Izzy's given up. Poor Izzy, where did he get to before he'd had enough? Let's have a look. 110, and he decided, no, he needs a rest. So, hello, Alex. Hello, Renee. Hello, Kim. Hello, Dee. Dee, how are you feeling after all the dancing last night? Yes, how is everybody doing? How are we all doing? Hot. It's evil. I can't speak. It's that bad. No, seriously, it is. It's oppressively warm. It's the warm, muggy thing. We do have clear blue skies, but they're not quite as blue as yesterday. But there's no rain either. And I actually made a mention to Mike of what happens here, which is when I check the weather app, which I've been checking quite frequently. I don't care when it's raining, you see, I'm fine. It says, like, today is going to be X degrees. And you're like, OK. And tomorrow is going to be 1 degree more. And then the next day it's going to be freezing. And you're like, OK, 3 days and it'll be freezing. Well, I have been checking this today and keeping my little beady eye on it, and they're lying. What happens is today is going to be X degrees, and then tomorrow it ends up hotter, and then hotter the day after, and hotter the day after. And all they keep doing is moving it forward. It's like a rolling thing. So when I looked before, Wednesday was going to be 29, and now it's 30. And Friday, it said 21, and now it says 26. So they're lying. Why do we pay them again? Remind me. The phone's overheating, I'm overheating, the tech's overheating, all the fans are on. It's not good. It's not good. How is it where you are? Let me know. Turn the fans on, you don't care if they make a noise. They will make a noise. Seriously, they'll make a noise. Oh, it's not good. Weeds are just flowers in the wrong place. I've always said that, Alex. How can you tell the difference between a flower and a weed? There is no difference between a flower and a weed other than somebody's classification. A human with an axe to grind. But our garden's looking pretty magnificent at the moment. Yeah, I was surprised as well. But it is, it's looking good. Dee was dancing all night. She was dancing all night. Kim says, you know, we were 113 days a few weeks back. I said that to Mike. I remember we made a big fuss, didn't we, of 180, because it's the darts thing. 180. And before we knew it, it was 280 and 380. But I did say I thought the 400s had kind of slowed down a bit. But maybe not. Oh, Deez makes a good point there. Who said I stopped dancing? You've had We Built This City and Conga on loop ever since. Oh, Dee says, I'm not very jolly considering it's the last day of COVID. Yeah, right. Oh, please don't. It's a... Nearly said a bad word that rhymed with fiasco. Well, at first, the first letter did. It's a fiasco here. You heard yesterday that the health secretary, who replaced the health secretary, who had it away with the health secretary's assistant. I hope you're following along with this. Do you know, whatever you say about Donald Trump, there was none of that business went on, was there? No. So, anyway, the new health secretary has COVID. Now, the new health secretary had been in meetings with Boris and the Chancellor. So, Boris had a plan. The health secretary got pinged, so he went into self-isolation. But Boris's plan was to avoid self-isolation, as was the Chancellor's. The country heard about this and went mental. So Boris is now in self-isolation. So he's back to his Zoom meetings at Chequers. But what possessed him to think that he could be exempt? It really is one rule for them and one rule for the rest of us. He seriously thought he was going to get away with that. On the front of one of the other papers, we've got Prince Charles, who says, I'm only going to wear a mask when I absolutely need to. And I thought, well, never mind, because I wouldn't want to meet you anyway. In fact, there's a story about that. Many years ago, Mike's dad was appearing in theatre And it was the theatre that we go to a lot. It's in Bolton. It's called the Octagon. And it was their 21st anniversary, I think. And because it was their anniversary, they put this production on. And Mike's dad was in it. And Prince Charles was coming to visit. So they said that all the family members of the cast could come along and they could meet Prince Charles. And Mike's mother said, I don't want to meet Prince Charles. And she didn't go. Oh, what a wise sage woman she was, even back then. I love that. I would not cross the road with a hose pipe on Prince Charles if he was on fire. So the prospect of I'm only going to wear a mask if I need to. Yeah, don't worry. You've already had COVID, you muppet. So it's crazy here. All the things are still going tomorrow. But can you imagine Freedom Day, which one of the papers this morning, lovely headline, Freedom Day, D-U-M-B. Freedom Day is going to happen and Boris is in self-isolation. Chancellor's in self-isolation and the health secretary is infected. So, yeah, it's going well. It's going really well, Dee. Don't follow what we do. For crying out loud, don't follow what we're doing. Oh, Renee was up bright and early. I wasn't up that early, I can tell you. Having said that, didn't get to bed till 5 o'clock, so that was why. CQ, Deb. You only have two states that aren't increasing in COVID cases. I did have a look at today's stats. Fractionally down, as they always are at the weekend. But when I say fractionally, you know, like 48,000. It wasn't good. Let's put it like that. Let's have a look at today's stats. Yeah, there you go. PM and Chancellor self-isolate after rapid U-turn. And it was because they're testing something. You'll love this. They're testing something called VIP testing. I'm not quite sure what VIP testing is. Let's have a look. Does it explain what it is? Yes, here we go. Number 10, Downing Street, that is, initially said that neither the Prime Minister nor the Chancellor would have to self-isolate because they were taking part in a pilot scheme involving daily testing instead. But the opposition parties launched a scathing attack on them, one rule for them and another for the rest of us, and he said he had only briefly considered taking part in the scheme and would not be doing so. So, Boris is holed up at Chequers for 10 days. Awesome. Absolutely fabulous. Loving that. And he's taken to Twitter with a video. Yeah, that's Boris all over. Oh, and there's Lola barking again. So, what were the stats? Let me have a look at the COVID stats. I know they weren't good. They were not good. Another 48,000... Where's it gone? 48,161 with another 163 in hospital, 25 new deaths. But the reporting goes down at the weekend. So we can expect tomorrow we'll probably top the 60,000 tomorrow. It is. It's just insanity. It's total insanity. Oh, they have passed now. 128,000 have died. So, yeah, just carry on as normal, really. The figures in our area in Trafford have gone up. Yet again. In fact, London's rife with it, so I don't know where would be. Wales is pretty decent, but obviously Wales is a different country, so they're not letting us in. It's not good. I'm forgetting about Stormy Daniels. Oh, Simon, I am, you're quite right. But wasn't that before it all started, not actually in office? And I actually didn't particularly mean Donald Trump. I think he kept everybody else on their toes to such a degree that his other staff didn't have time. Now, you see, if Boris had have kept Hancock busy, then Hancock wouldn't have been making his own entertainment, would he? So really what he needed was longer hours. Oh, mind you, having said that, the one he was having it away with was in his staff. Well, that would have given him more time, I suppose. Oh, can they not just find one and stick with them? Oh, it's disgusting. But yeah, I had forgotten about her. You're quite right. But as Dee says, that was out of office. This was literally while he was in office as the health secretary and in his physical office. I'm loving the fact that the police have been in and waltzed off with all the tech trying to find out who leaked it. I mean, that shouldn't actually be that difficult to work out, should it? Really? You know, you should be able to work that out because there would only be so... I mean, either it was an official camera or it wasn't. If it was an official camera, surely he would have known about it and kept his hands to himself. If it wasn't an official camera, then that's dicey. That's really dicey. But who knows? I wonder if we'll ever find out. Be grand if we did, wouldn't it? But I can't see it myself. They'll keep that to themselves. I would say for next time. Right. Oh, Renee's got all of his files. Yeah, it took me a while as well. It's big, but worth it. John Kennedy was one of in affairs in office. I was way too young. In fact, no, he died before I was born. So I have no recollection of that personally. But when you see the tales, and it was like that was just accepted as well. And his wife knew and everything. Sounds like a Tory wife. It's bizarre as far as I'm concerned, but that's just me. You think the leak was in the public interest? Well, to be honest, Simon, yeah, I take your point, but, you know, really, eyes bleed, didn't really need to see it. I think it would have... Would it have had the impact without the picture, Simon? Without his hand on her backside, on the video? Oh, God, the video's bad. Has anybody seen the video? If you think the pictures are bad, the video's awful. It looks like some kind of school play. And they're acting. It does not look like passion. It's really weird. Have you seen the video? I think the Sun had the video and I think they put it on YouTube. And I watched it and I thought it was so bad I had to watch it again. And on a second viewing, I thought it's actually worse than I thought it was the first time. Let's watch Laporte. Handy Hancock, do you think that'll come up? Oh, Hancock video. Let's see if that comes. Oh, CCTV, there's that as well. Now, is that a video or is that a picture? Because I actually do need the video. The pictures are no good if you've not got the video. It's the video. There you go. And there's a fabulous... You won't notice the watermark. I tell you, you won't. It's so tiny. But when you watch this video, so about 12 seconds in, it's only a minute 16. It looks so put on. Or is it me? The way his hands... Oh, no. The way his hands... I don't need to see it, Simon. Public interest or not. Oh, no. Oh, bromide. That now, there you go. That should definitely be in the tea. And the other thing is, not being funny, he checked... when you watched the beginning of this video, all right, when he checked that there was nobody there with a door and then closed the door, if you look at where he is... Oh, God, now he's dancing with it. Oh, make it stop. Oh, seriously, make it stop. He couldn't be better positioned for this camera. So I'm wondering, did he know? And once it gets to 1 minute, she steps back and puts a hand behind her back as though it is literally choreographed. It's the most bizarre thing. Oh, right. Clinton was the other one having affairs in office. Well, yes, we got all the details about that as well, didn't we? And we didn't need those. No, that was something else we could have done without. It's actually nice that she's kind of reclaimed that. Did you see her TED talk, Monica Lewinsky? It was brilliant. It was a wonderful, wonderful TED talk. I did not know about Mrs. Clinton being at it as well. Did not know that. What school plays did we have? Oh, we had kind of interpretive dance, D. You would have loved it. Interpretive dance it was. What was the music? War of the Worlds. So I sat there for like an hour and three quarters thinking, love the music, the interpretive dance. Yeah, could have all done without that. Seriously, I could have done without it. I don't remember any other school plays. We didn't do Shakespeare or anything like that. Nope, nothing like that. Is he going to town? Sometimes camera angles are too good. That camera angle, though, it caught all of them. You know, normally, if you'd put like a spy camera in, why would you have a spy camera pointing at the door? You wouldn't necessarily expect them unless you already knew. And who would know but the two of them? You wouldn't automatically know that that's like, well, if we stood here, we'd be bang in the centre of the camera. Honestly, whoever directed that was amazing. But, oh, no. Oh, it's just too creepy. It's too creepy by far. But, you know, now I've seen it, so it's something that I'll never unsee. I need therapy, clearly. Exactly, Dee. Those camera angles are too good, aren't they? Oh, Alex was a tree in the nativity with green crepe paper. that's his office, Kim, in Westminster. So, yeah, where he shouldn't be.
I was never in the nativity.
I can't even remember if we had a nativity. We must have done at primary school, but we're probably too young.
But then I wasn't allowed to sing the Lord's Prayer.
No. Naughty Jewish boys don't say that. There was one thing we did. I can't remember what it was. But I had a silent part in it, which suited me fine. We were supposed to be... I think someone was cleaning the steps. This was back in the day, of a little terraced house where the ladies used to go out and clean the steps every day. So some of them were supposed to be cleaning the steps. But I got co-opted into, like, lifting a desk up with somebody else and, like, pretending to carry it into the house. And it was like a really understated role. You know, there wasn't, you know, like an actor would say, oh, I can do a lot with this role. No, you can't do much with a non-speaking role where you're carrying a desk into a house. Unless you stop halfway, put the desk down and lift your foot up and look at it. And then shake your foot as if you've trodden in something that you shouldn't. Which I did. Got a great laugh. Teacher went mental. Obviously didn't do it in rehearsal. Saved it for the live thing. That was the only thing I was ever in. Maybe that was why. That could well have been why. Oh, I enjoyed myself though. But, you know, you can't unsee that video, can you? And to think that that's the centre of government. But it's the weirdest dance when she puts her hand behind her back and moves away. Oh, please. Shouldn't he know where his own camera's located? Well, that was my point. If it was a security camera, yes, he should. I mean, if it's a security camera, you're not going to hide it, are you? In the wall. You're just going to put it up there and you're going to see it. So was he really arrogant enough, one, to know where the camera was, and then two, to just think that doing whatever he liked right in front of it, he was going to get away with it? Talk about treating every camera and microphone as if it's live. Now, if it was a hidden thing, then that opens up a whole different can of worms. You know, who put it there? How did they know that there was something to film in the first place? How did they know? I mean, basically, the way they are in that shot, the way they're framed, you could have put a cross on the floor and said, just stand there. It was that accurate. So however you look at it, it's bad news. And I definitely don't need to see it again. Oh, Anthony did a modern nativity. The CEO of Mothercare bringing gifts for the baby. With a bill. I'm loving that. Oh, good grief. Now, this wasn't something that we did at school, but at school, for our O-level in English, we had to do Midsummer Night's Dream. Not one of my favourite plays, let's put it like that. And they decided in their wisdom that we should go and see it, which was bad enough. You know, going to see a good version of it would have been bad enough. And I have seen a good version of it since. But, you know, aged 13, I'm not interested. But it was a school trip to go and see it. Seeing it, as I say, would have been bad enough. But it was a modern interpretation. And a bit like Anthony, you know, I mean, Mothercare. Couldn't make it up. Yeah, what they did was, the forest was just like a graffiti-covered wasteland with tyres hanging off trees. There wasn't a green piece of papier-mâché to be seen, nor crepe paper either. It looked like an urban jungle. It was hideous. And to add insult to injury, United were playing Everton at home that night, and I wanted to go. And where was I? At the Royal Northern College of Music, watching A Midsummer Night's Dream. With a radio tucked under my arm.
I did one of those.
Why do they pick those nights? You could pick any other night, not that night.
I had to go to this concert that was being put on by the guy who taught me clarinet. And United were playing Colchester in the FA Cup.
Oh, big match then.
Yeah, it was.
Colchester.
FA Cup fourth round. Tell you what, find out what year it was.
I'd reckon it's got to be around 78, 9 or 80, something like that.
Probably.
How old were you?
I don't know. Anyway, I was there with headphone in my ear.
Renee says maybe they framed it and they just wanted it to come out. Well, yeah, there was that, because then he left his wife. I mean, why he didn't have the guts to leave his wife in the first place, I don't know. It is an easy way of getting divorce process going, but what's comical in this country is... We do have the concept now of a no-fault divorce, if you're with me. But it's quite subtle. So there has to be a reason. You can't just say we've amicably decided that we're going to settle and split up. You can't say that. There has to be a reason. So unreasonable behaviour. So I think there's five grounds. There's unreasonable behaviour. Obviously, being unfaithful would be another one. I can't remember the third one. But it's the fourth and fifth that make me laugh. If you agree, so you just agree, you've grown apart. No one's to blame. You don't want to fit it in with the unreasonable behaviour or somebody having an affair. You just want a divorce. You have to wait 2 years. You have to live apart for 2 years. If you both agree, if you both don't agree, if one of you disagrees, then it's 5 years. Do you remember Tommy Dock with that? There was a manager at Manchester United and he was having an affair with a physiotherapist's wife. Don't ask, it got complicated. So United sacked him because it was a breach of trust, with it being somebody else's wife who worked for the club. So he left his wife and he moved in with this lady. And actually, they've been together ever since, haven't they?
Yeah, well, he's dead now.
Well, he's dead now, but, you know, they were together from then on, so they lived together almost about 38 years, 40 years. Let me think. 8, 9, 10. About 38, 39 years they were together. So they did settle down together. But his wife didn't want a divorce, so he had to wait 5 years. So if Matt Hancock, handy to his friends, wants to be divorced, then yes, his wife could claim a divorce straight away on the grounds that he was unfaithful. But if she wanted to make his life purgatory, she could actually say, I don't want a divorce, and make him wait 5 years. Oh, it's great in this country. It's like chess, marital chess. Oh, it's grand.
It was a big match, by the way. It was a big match.
Go on.
It was February 79.
Oh, right. So we did actually, well, we got to the final that year, didn't we?
Yeah, so it was
so
a big
must have
match.
Won. Must have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no easy way to get divorce over here. But at least we had a divorce. Ireland only just brought that in, didn't they? At one point, you couldn't get a divorce at all in Ireland. Oh, that wouldn't have suited Handy, would it? Presupposing he wants to leave his wife, get a divorce and marry this one. Who knows? Maybe there's a whole rota of them. I've no idea. Okay, bottom. Yes, bottom was in that. I remember it well. But do you know, that version that I watched was absolutely appalling. It was shockingly bad. Many years later, we were going to the Octagon Theatre and we went to the first two plays of the year, and it was because my favourite actor was in them, and it was a cast through. And what that means is they're in the first play, but to save time and money hiring another load of actors for the second play of the year, the actors from the first play also do the second play. Why that's cheaper is because the rehearsals for the second play happen at the same time as the show is on for the first play. So they're only paying them once, but they're actually doing two jobs. And that's how it is in the theatre. So we'd been to these two plays and they were very, very good. And there was a young girl in it. It was her first job, her first professional job. And she was fantastic. She stole the show in both of them, to be honest. And we got talking to her in the bar afterwards. So we became quite friendly. We saw her loads of times. So she said, you are coming back, aren't you, to watch Midsummer Night's Dream? Because I'm in that too. And I said, yes, of course we are. And I got out to Mike and he said, you bought the tickets. I said, are you kidding me? The Midsummer Night's Dream? No. So I said, but I will do. I will do. But what we did was that we went to the opening night every time it was on, but we didn't for Midsummer Night's Dream. So I think it must have been going about 2 weeks before we rocked up. And even then we had dodgy tickets at the side, didn't we? But the thing was, these tickets that we'd got were banging her eye line. So when she came in the bar afterwards, she said, I saw you, I saw you. So it comes up, big hugs, all the rest of it. So we had, I said, you know, I'm going to have to sit through Midsummer Night's Dream. But do you know, it was brilliant. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, one, the cast was very, very good. I mean, she, the lady I'm talking about is Vanessa Kirby, who is now starring with Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible films.
Well, she's seeing him.
That was a rumour, I think. I think she's actually with somebody else. And she was in The Crown as well. So it's great to follow her career along, but so funny. It was like, oh, yes, of course we are. Mike, we need tickets for Midsummer Night's Dream. Which was, how come we ended up with these dodgy ones? Russell was in that, though, wasn't he, as well? So we got talking to this other actor as well, and he said, I spotted you. So they're looking out at the crowd to see who's in the crowd that they actually know. But it was a very, very good production of it, and it shows you what a difference it makes. And maybe the other one was just too modern, because we also went to see Hamlet, and that was a modern one, wasn't it? And you weren't keen.
No.
Was it the story, or was it the fact it was a modern interpretation?
Or was it I had half an ear on United match again?
Oh, yes. United were playing that night.
I think it was a combination of all three.
I didn't think the modern approach to that one didn't work. I won't say, you know, I would much rather have seen it as it was intended. What they did was they reset it to, was it Romania or Hungary or somewhere like that?
Russia, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Russia. Well, somewhere like that. So the military looked quite Russian, but it wasn't Russia. I think it was Hungary or Romania, one of them. So it was like 1950s formal dress for the ladies. I mean, it didn't not work, but I would much rather have seen it as it was intended. And of course, you're all waiting for the alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well, blah, blah, blah. So you're all waiting for that bit, although I think by then Mike had given up living. That was the night that person, we were on the end of a row. So there was a whole aisle between me and the next person. And the person on the front row had the audio description thing on because they had the guide dog. Love the guide dog. But the audio description was that loud. I could hear every word. And I'm thinking as it came on, I thought, someone's got a radio on.
That would be me.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the commentary. I could tell that. I knew it was commentary on what we were watching. And I'm looking around thinking, where the hell is that noise coming from? Because it was really loud. It quietened down towards the end. I think they realised it was far, far too loud. But it's like a Walkman that they have that gets started, I think, automatically when the play starts. And it audio describes what's going on. So it's fabulous for the visually impaired. Less so if you're trying to follow what's going on and you can't hear them. Oh, what a night that was. Simon used to hate to having to recite the Lord's Prayer. Wasn't too keen myself. I didn't think it belonged at school. Seemed to leave out a lot of the important stuff and used nonsense like, who art thou, thy death. Like being a communist reciting something to Mao Zedong. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I think you could have something that was, because there's so many different religions now, and yet it's still the Lord's Prayer that you're supposed to rattle off. And there's so many different versions of the Lord's Prayer now, believe it or not. I think there's at least three. But at school, maybe you should have like a school motto or a kind of anti-bullying thing or something more relevant. But no, we still have that, believe it or not. And we had a hymn book. It was a tiny blue thing. People used to cover it in fur, you know. You know, like that you'd have like a cushion, a furry cushion.
We had to cover all our exercise books.
Well, we didn't, unless you drew something on them they didn't like, and I drew rabbits all over mine, which I thought was particularly great. Anyway, I got a message from the maths teacher, please cover this book. So I did, in sticky back plastic. Got another message back, not sticky back plastic, cover the rabbits. Oh, they got no sense of humour, they really haven't. But yeah, this hymn book, it was ever so tiny, and the pages were that thin. You know that toilet paper, the tracing paper stuff, worse than that. They were really, really thin. But it was full of songs you were supposed to sing. And they'd pick one, you know, and you'd have to sing this hymn as well. So, yeah, it was a bit... Looking back on it, I mean, I don't know if they do that now. I honestly don't know. I mean, the Catholic schools have a mass. They actually have a Catholic mass going on. But, yeah. Is that only with Catholics or all religions? Is this saying the Lord's Prayer? That's all schools. All schools in the UK. So... It used to be in the morning you would have assembly, the entire school would decamp into the hall. So you're looking at like 1,200 students that would decamp into the hall, and there would be an assembly, and it would start with saying the Lord's Prayer and then singing a hymn. And then if there were any announcements or anything, they would do that. And then you would go back to your form rooms. So it probably took probably no more than 10 minutes. But you did have to traipse up there for it and then traipse back. And it's every school. It's primary schools, it's high schools. The Catholic schools take it further. The Catholic schools, at a minimum, you have to provide, as a Catholic school, a Catholic life for the children. Because they might not get that at home. So they do have an assembly. They do say the Lord's Prayer. They'll say other prayers. So the Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Glory Be, usually. They'll do some kind of singing, but I don't think they're singing at the moment because of COVID. But beyond that, there will also be extra masses where the priest will actually turn up himself, and there'll be like a 20-25 minute mass, probably only twice a week or so. But they have to do that as well. And in the midst of all that, the teachers have to try and fit in all the things that they're supposed to teach them. And I do wonder how they manage that. If you're losing an hour a week to a mass or two masses, and now you have to teach them at primary school a language and geography and history, because we didn't do that. We learnt to write, we learnt to read, we learnt comprehension, we had maths, but we weren't learning like French or Spanish or any other language. And then on top of that, taking the context of other lessons and putting them in the form of history and geography. I don't know where they get the time. I really don't. 1993, good grief. Was it that long ago? 1 by 0.3%. Wow. I can understand why it wasn't there, but then that's religion governing the state, isn't it? I bet when that vote was taken in 93, because I actually thought it was later than that. What year was it that they allowed gay marriage? Because I think you were marginally ahead of us. And it was like Ireland had totally changed into this open adopting society. Let's carry on here. 93 before they decriminalised homosexuality. That's crazy. That was 67 here. I remember that. 67. Not personally remember it. Remember it from law. Renee didn't know divorce was illegal at one time. It just wasn't permitted. Once you got married, that was it. And it was very, very hard on situations where maybe one or other party was totally innocent, so the husband had left, the wife couldn't get a divorce. If there was any domestic violence, nothing cut it for a divorce. So if you were in any mind of like not wanting to let the husband go, take them over to Ireland to get married, work well. There were actually some stars prior to it being that you could get a divorce that did deliberately go over to Ireland to get married. It's fabulous, isn't it? I think if you can legally enter into something, you should be legally able to get out of something. But no, not in Ireland. But you can now. It's all sorted now. I did not see the Much Ado About Nothing. This won't come as a surprise, Kim, will it? Sam says, to be fair, you think the problem is unless you want to travel miles and miles, most of the schools are C of E. Yeah, I don't know if it's any different now, Simon, because of these trusts. You know where they run like 5 and 6 schools? I don't know if their rules are any different now. I really don't. But I think some things could change in that regard now. I mean, the C of E schools, I actually went to one for a year and a half. And it was hard to tell the difference between an assembly there and assembly at a Catholic school. Really difficult to tell the difference. But now, you know, we only really had back then 2, 3, 4 religions, if that. And now we've got 27. So I think that's going to have to change. But we'll find out. The toilet paper that cuts as it cleans. That's the one, Simon. That's the one. Used as tracing paper before photocopying. We had the purple photocopier. The one, I don't know how it worked, but it had a handle on it. And it stank. You put the page to be copied on some kind of thing and then turned a handle. And the copies, I won't say photocopies because they weren't, the copies came off it. They had purple ink on them. They stank to high heaven and they were wet. Because the way it did it was like passing it through this purple ink. They were actually wet. When you got the photocopies, you had to kind of just waft them so you could dry them. They were bad. And to think that was about 1982. There must have been proper photocopies back then, surely. Oh, no.
And they stank.
It did. It
could
really
get high
stank.
On it.
Yeah. It was a kind of chemically smell, wasn't it? Oh, Kim says, if a Catholic school, they should have all the prize they want. The thing is, if it was decided at national level or Vatican Council level, fine. But what happens is, it will depend on where you are as to what degree of Catholic schooling you get. So, a mass is like at least once a week, but usually twice. But on top of that, because of the diocese that we're in, the bishop wanted them to bring in the hours. So basically every hour you say a prayer. That's not been done. That wasn't done when I was at school. It might have been done when my mum was at school, but not since then. And he wanted to bring all this stuff back. And there just isn't the time. Unless you're going to extend the school day, there isn't the time. And when I said about my school day, and I didn't have French or geography or history, you know, they concentrated on the core skills when I was at primary school. But we also stayed till 4:45. And now they're out the door at 2:05. I do not know where they find the time to teach them what they already teach them without teaching them any more or taking any extra time for a Catholic life session. Oh, when Renee went to Christian school, the teacher said a prayer in the first lesson, but you don't have to say anything. I think now there are probably going to be quite a lot of students who are of a faith that don't say the Our Father. So I don't know whether they have different assemblies or whether they dispense with the Our Father and just say something generic. No idea. Interesting to find out, though, wouldn't it? A stencil machine. I think the name was something like that. Was it a stenograph? Stenograph rings a bell. Probably find out that's something totally different now. And it will be if you don't put the P in it, woman. Was it a stenograph? No. It could have been a stenograph. That's a stenotype. No, that's shorthand. Ooh, I tell you what if I put in purple photocopy? You'd probably find people of my age saying, do you remember when? Purple photocopy. Is there a real thing? Mimeograph. There you go. School duplicating machines from somewhere on Sheffield History and Expats Forum. And they're actually saying you put the ink in and it was usually purple and you hand cranked it. A mimeograph. So it copied what you put on it. But, oh, it stank. You wouldn't be allowed that now. You'd probably poison the children. Anthony's schools used to have multi-faith assemblies, so you'd all have different faith leaders coming in to talk to you. No, obviously that never happened in mine. And when I got to high school, which was, probably C of E, if nothing else, but actually faithless grammar school, I don't remember anybody coming in from any faith. What we did do was in religious studies, which couldn't drop fast enough, we did... Who's the one with Vishnu? I remember Vishnu. We had to draw the deities. I mean, they call this education, for crying out loud. Vishnu. Was it Sikhism? Hindu. So I think we did Hindu and Sikh. As like, we took two religions and looked at them. And I thought it would have been far more useful back then to make one of them a Christian faith. But no, they didn't. You could take that on to O-level. I dropped it. Couldn't drop it fast enough. It was one of those subjects, like art, that they told you were fantastic at until you made your choices for O-level. And then I remember getting A for art all the way through until I decided I wasn't doing it to O-level, at which point dropped to a D. I took my report home and I was like, Mum's going to go mental. And she looked at it and she said, should I see you didn't take that as an option, so they marked you down. She was fine. I said, yeah, can we just do something with that before Dad sees it, though? She went, oh, yeah, he wouldn't understand. Tears the page out. Luckily, each subject was on a separate page, which was awesome. Love that.
I did that.
Oh, the Catholic rule. The Catholic schools in America are private, so a different set of rules. We have... They are subject to the standard rules of the country, but they have like a dispensation for the fact that they are Catholic schools, and thus they are funded by the Catholic schools. And therefore they can have more in the way of RE, religious education content. And that's how they do it. But it is up to the diocese what to recommend. And I just find that silly. So it means you could have a school on one side of the street in one diocese and on the other side of the street in another diocese, and they're doing totally different things. And it depends on the bishop. The will of the bishop. And our bishop is very traditional. So he wants things to go back, you know, 100 years and be like that. So pre-Vatican II. So if we could have all the masses in Latin and with the priest with his back to the congregants and the congregants not having a clue what's going on, yep, that's what he wants. And he wants these prayers every hour on the hour, which, as the teachers say, no time. No time for that. But that's what he wants. Dee went to a Catholic school, but we did nothing. Was that in Ireland? Because I reckon if it's in Ireland, that's just like normal. You know, you probably get enough exposure to Catholic life in Ireland outside school to not need it. But over here, I think the fear of the Catholic Church is that, you will be, you'll have no exposure to Catholic life. So they shove it in the schools. Thing is, at the Catholic schools, you're lucky if you've got 55% Catholics. By far the second dominant religion, and Catholics not, Catholic might be about 55%, but the rest of them are probably Muslim or Hindu. And the Muslims and Hindus want their children to go to a Catholic school for the education, not particularly the religious education, the education, because they're very, very good schools. But any child that goes to a Catholic school, the parents are told they cannot opt out of the religious aspect of it, because otherwise it'd be divisive and you'd need more teachers and the rest of it. So if your Muslim child is accepted into the Catholic school, it has to do all of the Catholic stuff. So it'd be the Catholic assembly and the Catholic masses, etc. They are included to the point they can go up and have a blessing instead of Eucharist, but they have to be included. It's all or nothing. And you can't disagree with that, because it would fragment. But I often wonder, you know, why would you want somebody to go to a school like that? Maybe I wonder if the parents know how much religious life content there is, or whether they're just focusing on the results, because the majority of Catholic schools have outstanding from Ofsted here. So it could be that. Fox News generated distortion, and we've got our own now, haven't we? I haven't looked at that channel since, Simon. What's it called? Is it UK News? GB something? No, once was enough. I found Michelle Dewberry doing, what was that programme called? Juby something. It was bad. It was bad, and I never turned it on again. Deb's husband went to, Loyola? Brothers went to Notre Dame, and several of the great uncles were priests and aunts were nuns. Catholic schools where you grew up had an excellent education system. Well, that's why they're so popular here with people who aren't Catholic. There is a pecking order when it comes to a school. A good school that's got an outstanding thing from Ofsted will have, people will know that it's been graded as being outstanding. There's also a cottage industry grown up. So this would have to be paid for out of the school budget. But there's a cottage industry grown up where if you've got your Ofsted outstanding, you can have like a plaque or, you know, a wall plinth thing with it. And you can have that put outside the school, or one of those canvas things that you strap to the fence. And that way, anybody who drives past knows that you've been graded outstanding by Ofsted. So those schools are probably going to be oversubscribed. If they're oversubscribed, there has to be a pecking order in who gets in and why. And the top one, believe it or not, is not Catholic children. The top one is adopted and looked after children. They have to be given priority before anybody else. Then I think you've got Catholic children, then there's a pecking order below that. And the priority is given to children who've got brothers and sisters at that school, which is like a practical thing. You can't have a parent dropping off four kids at four different schools, because nobody would be on time, would they? So that's like a practical thing. And the other thing is if it's a child of a teacher, on the basis that if that child was going somewhere else, then the teacher wouldn't be able to get to school on time. But they are down the list. But it's fascinating when you look at it, and you know, you usually are oversubscribed, and it's horrible to have to make the decision as to who gets in and who doesn't. But the reason that they're oversubscribed is because they're Ofsted outstanding. But we didn't have all this in my day. You just went to the school that was nearest to you and you were done. So I don't understand in this day and age all this applying here and applying there when it's miles away from where you are. but apparently it's allowed. To me, that seems a bit weird. I think the Tories brought that in, but don't quote me. And it was all to do with Ofsted and it being graded and levelling up. One of Boris's phrases, levelling up. Let's level up the bad schools with the good schools. And that's where trusts came from. An educational trust is a financially independent body that takes over the running of a school. But unfortunately, they do get funding from the government. But unfortunately, it's become like a multidisciplinary trust. So the trust owns like 6 or 7 schools. There was actually an expose done on it on Panorama. And the problem was they were getting all the money that they needed to run this school. But the school was in a shocking state of disrepair. I mean, like windows rotten, sometimes windows fallen out, guttering hanging off, leaking roofs. And they actually had received the money for this, but either pocketed it or used it for something else entirely. Or used the money from one school at another school because it was run by the trust. The trust ran all of the 6 schools. So the multi-trust thing is all a bit weird. We didn't have any of that in my day, but it's a big thing now. Right, let's carry on. The things that they're doing at school now, so all this that you're talking about there, is British values that they teach, which is hard to nail down. I'll give you that. It's hard to nail down. And it can be different in different schools. I think they do learn about racism and the history of slavery and things like that. But mainly the British values at primary school level anyway. Are like looking after your fellow students and no bullying and that kind of thing. Which, you know, that's quite nice. Whether it'd go on forever or not, I don't know. I don't know what happens in secondary school. Oh, okay, caught up. You know, I did make it, didn't I? I deserve a medal today, I'm telling you. It's been that kind of day. If I never have another day like today, it'll be too soon. Let's put it like that. And no, I've still not done my essay, which I should have done, which I haven't done. And I'm in no frame of mind to do either. But I've got to do it. So shall I head off and do it? I haven't even got a topic yet. I guess I'll pick one out of the air. Lucky me. Good job it's only 250 words, isn't it? Because if it was 2,500, trust me, it would not be getting done. But I will endeavour to finish today's and get that up there. And the second that we're off air, the fans are going on. All of them. In fact, if I could get another batch here before tomorrow, that would be good. Oh, I did get a delivery date today from Amazon, which I would love to have kept for an unboxing, but I needed it. So I might share that on Friday without the unboxing, just to show you a little toy that we got. It's only a little toy, but it's a useful little toy. So yeah, we did get toys delivered today as well. Kim says, you personally believe we need to teach all the good and horrors of humanity, currently ignoring the slavery that's currently going on. I honestly don't know what we're going to do about that, because at the moment, everything's been changed, even like linguistics. Things we've used for years. It's like, you can't say that. You have to say they and them. And like, yeah, but that's not grammatically correct. How can we teach children grammar and then say, no, you don't do that? It's really difficult at the moment. You don't want to offend anybody. And it is. It's incredibly difficult. They do like educational trips where they do historical stuff. But in my opinion, not as much as they should, because if you don't know what went on, my one wish from school is that I had done better history. We started too soon. I think we needed history maybe from the 1800s, instead of which we started probably BC, down with the seed drill. And what was that other thing?
Don't know. Jethro Tull's seed drill we had, and I thought that's the name of a group. I didn't realise the group was named after a seed drill.
You see, that's something you could have learned. There you go. No, it was that kind of stuff. It was like how we did farming in 1800.
They called it humanities.
Oh, I didn't touch that with a barge pole.
No, that's why it was a mixture of history and something else.
No, ours was purely history, but I dropped it in year 3, thank God. It was awful. But the thing was, I wasn't good at it. So they recommended that I didn't carry it on. I mean, you know, my essays were bad. They were bad, and I know they were bad. I wasn't interested. I was bored, rigid.
We did the Spanish Civil War A-level history, and we used to...
Oh, dear. This won't end well. Lie down, Tracy. Go on. when he's gathered himself.
Yeah, with a half glass of wine. Throw books at each other and say it was a reenactment of the Civil War.
Oh dear, that's worse than me. Even I wasn't that bad. I remember doing something to do with Scotland, and I wrote this essay while she was wandering around. Everybody asked her a question. I said to him, I've not done my homework. So I said, if you can keep her busy while she's collecting the books. Every single person asked her a question, and by the time she got to me, it was 25 minutes later and I'd finished. The ink was barely dry, but, you know, it was done.
Yeah, that was it, Anthony. Humanities, history and geography rolled into one. That's exactly what it was.
I wasn't good at geography either. I dropped that. Oh, no, I did geography. I had to keep either history or geography. I couldn't get rid of the pair of them, which was most unfortunate.
I did CSE geography. Wasn't good enough for O-level.
Well, they told me I wasn't, but I still came out with it. So they lied. No, our history was history, but it's boring history. And then I found out that the fourth and fifth year history, which is when you are 15 and 16, was about the world wars. And I wanted to know about that, but they wouldn't let me do it because I was so bad at the other stuff. And I thought, that's ridiculous. That's like saying, we're not putting you in for Spanish because you can't speak French. I might be a natural at Spanish for all you know, but just because I couldn't do something else, no, you can't do it. Ugh. Renee only remembers 1985. Well, there you go. 1985 is where we all need to be, isn't it? Absolutely. Alex says, mainly remembering dates. She dropped it ASAP. That was the problem. That was the problem with it. It was all like the battle of this, and that was at such and such a year. But the thing was, done in the right way, I would enjoy it. So we went on holiday when I was about 13 or 14, and we went down to Southsea, which is on the south coast of the UK, just above the Isle of Wight. And we went for the day to Portsmouth. And we went round the naval dockyard at Portsmouth. It was fabulous. I absolutely loved it. First of all, we went round HMS Victory, which is as old as the hills. It's Nelson's ship. But it was the year before the Falklands War. And they had HMS Hermes there, which is an aircraft carrier. And you could actually go on it and go round it. And then later on in the afternoon, they did like takeoffs and landings on it so you could see how it actually worked. So I was actually on the flight deck of this thing. Oh, I was loving it. And all of the history stuff with Nelson was interesting. So I think it was just that maybe my teachers were absolute garbage. Which, you know, like I had a maths teacher that couldn't add up, and I had the one that couldn't explain what binary was. So, yeah, I can only assume the history teacher was just as bad. But done in the right way, anything can be interesting. Oh, good grief, Renee, I'd missed that. EasyJet will not use the term Mr, Mrs or boys and girls. They will only use the term passenger from now on. Crying out loud. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Catching up here. Oh, Dee's still dancing. She's still whopping from last night. I actually made the point, didn't I, with that conga. Was it conga? That I hadn't heard it. And then as soon as she started singing, I thought, of course I know this one. Which is exactly what I told you would happen. Yeah. I remembered later. But it's a good one, that. That was real 1985 dance music, that. Oh, yes, be careful where you're putting your ice cubes. That's the title of last night's show. Anthony was really looking forward to doing science at primary school. When you finally got to the lessons, it was domestic science. Domestic science. Oh, that takes me back. I had to drop that. Oh, that was bad news. In fact, I actually got into a bit of a scrap with the teacher on that one. We did cookery. It was appalling. Appalling. They didn't teach you anything. And then they didn't teach you how to organise. I mean, there's a term for it, isn't there? Mise en place. Which means organisation in the kitchen, a place for everything and everything in its place. And there's a book called Work Clean, and it's fabulous. If we'd have done that back then, I'd actually say my life could have been different. If we'd have had that book back then, she didn't tell you how to organise. It was just you're disorganised. Well, of course a child's going to be disorganised if you're not taught it to be organised. Where should stuff go and why? You know, and explain it. So cookery, absolute nightmare. Then we went on to sewing. And I didn't do bad with that until it came to put this zip in. So I did it, but it looked like a dog's hind leg. So the teacher passed it. So I took it home and I said, I finished that skirt. And Mum looked at it and she said, has this been passed by the teacher? I said, yeah. She said, this is appalling. I said, I know that and you know that. I said, but I couldn't put the zip in properly. So she said, well, why not? I said, because at school, on the sewing machines, they didn't have a zip foot. She said, you put this in with a standard foot. I said, yeah. She said, actually, then it's not bad. But she insisted on taking it out and putting it back in properly. But I actually got a pass for that. Well, I did from school, not off my mother, I didn't. She insisted on that she redo it. So when I took it back, the teacher was like, you fiddled with this. I said, no, I just fixed it. And it was like, how are you going to cope in life if you can't sew? You won't have any clothes. Bearing in mind, this is 1983. I looked at her like she'd absolutely fallen out of a tree. And I said, I'd get a good job and buy them. Like normal people. And she couldn't grasp that at all. But I had no desire to sit. Who's got time these days? I was quite right. My prediction was right. Who's got time to sit and make their own clothes? Unless that's their hobby. Unless that's their thing. What they really, really want to do with their time. And I can assure you, it is not what I want to do with my time. So I think I was quite justified in saying, you know, I'd rather not spend 2 hours a week doing sewing. I'd rather spend 2 hours a week doing something that will enable me to get a good job where I can go and buy clothes. But yeah, not good. Domestic science for us was broken down into a few different things. You had domestic science on the curriculum, but it was actually cookery, sewing, home economics, which was just like the maths of it. It was actually boring, that. I think there was one more. God, my life, I may remember what it was, but it was definitely those three. But we also had... what was that one called? Originally, before the school was Lim Grammar. And there was a big shake-up in 78, 79. So I started there in 78. And they weren't allowed. I think this was part of the Labour government's thing. And it was really ahead of its time, if you think about what's going on now. You weren't allowed to say only the boys can do woodwork, metalwork and technical drawing. And the girls have to do sewing, home ec and cookery. So what they did was the boys had to do the cookery as well. And we got to do the technical drawing and stuff. And it was great. I loved that. So when we had this domestic science come, whatever you want to call it, thing, it changed every, I think it was 6 weeks. So there was a cookery thing on all year, but the first group did it first and then the second group did it in the third, and you all did it on a rota. But I just loved the woodwork, metalwork and technical drawing, particularly loved technical drawing. And then I had to go into cookery. Not good. Didn't end well. Never did. Oh, buttrick patterns. I remember those. Mum used to do that. Mum was great making clothes. She was fantastic. She made some really lovely stuff that you wouldn't have been able to buy. And, you know, it fit properly because she would know, like, the skirt needed to be like half an inch bigger than the jacket kind of thing. So everything that she did was fantastic. But I just had no desire whatsoever to do it. So I don't think you should push kids into it if they really don't. You can use the just... I'll just use money for anything and not learn anything. Well, true. Well, obviously, you've got to learn something so you get a job doing something that earns money. But it should be what you have an aptitude for or what you want to do and not push you into garbage stuff. I mean, for example, the degree of our domestic science was make a cup of tea. Didn't you do that one?
I think we did. And made toast.
No, we didn't do toast.
We did toast.
No.
We did tea. We did sausage rolls. Where we took the meat and made it into a little ball, and me and Sim used to throw it at each other.
No, we were supposed to do a Swiss roll.
Oh, we did a Swiss roll.
Well, I sort of did a Swiss roll. It kind of overcooked and wouldn't roll, so I made biscuits. It was supposed to be a Swiss roll, but I made biscuits.
The teacher said, "What's happened here?" Then my dad loved it. So it's not always about the presentation.
No, but that's what they put the effort on. But they don't actually, they didn't teach us presentation. They just came around and criticised.
Yeah.
The teachers back then were absolutely useless. They really were. It was as though they took a great delight in telling you everything you did was garbage. Which is why, you know, all these, like, let's have a reunion. No, let's not. Didn't enjoy it the first time round. No desire to go back and do it again. But I want to be where Renee was because he had a welding class. Oh, would have loved that. It's in the blood. My granddad We had a thing in this country. I think it's not certified welder. It could be master welder. But you've basically done a course and passed an exam in it. And that's what he was. And he was so proud of what he did. One of these jobs he had, and this was all done by hand in the day, was welding teapot spouts. He was so proud of one of these teapot spouts, he brought it home to show my gran. I can say she was less thrilled because he wasn't attached to a teapot. But he absolutely loved that. Oh, he really did. Oh, Alex had a slide rule. He did agree to learn how to use it. I don't think I had a slide rule, and I certainly wouldn't be able to use one. I wouldn't. But I did love technical drawing. Oh, it was grand. Oh, and jewellery making. No, we didn't do that either. We did metalwork, and in metalwork, I made an ashtray. You wouldn't be doing that these days, would you? Wouldn't be allowed. Would not be allowed. Oh, it was a school for children who hated learning. Sounds perfect for me, Renee. Oh, well, let's wind the clock back to 1982, and I'll do the last 3 years. That sounds perfect to me. Right, well, I'm desiring to put the fan on. So we're going to head off and let me put the fan on, and we will be back with you tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.